You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
And Judge, again, this has been previously admitted by stipulation of the parties.
It is admitted, yes.
Now, did you take the time to look at Tammy Daybell's death certificate?
No, I did not.
You didn't consider that?
No.
So you looked at some medical records and said she has anemia and she's on Prozac. And you looked at Officer Greenall's report, right?
Yes.
But you didn't look at any death certificate?
No.
Did you read Brenda Dye's report?
No, I did not.
Did you read Officer Greenall's report?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So when you took consideration of why you dug up Tammy Daybell, and by the way, just before we get there, Tammy Daybell's children were never notified that you were digging their mother out of the ground, were you?
No, there was not.
Yeah. So her own children were not advised that.
Overruled.
So her own family were never advised that you're digging their mother out of the ground without letting them know in any shape, form, or opportunity to respond. Is that right?
Yes.
I'd like you to look at the certificate of death, and I'm going to point down to where it says the cause of death. Do you see my arrow down there?
Yes.
Okay. And the cause of death, they list two things on the cause of death for Tammy Daybell's death. And would you read those out loud, what those two are?
Cardiac event and pulmonary edema.
Okay. Heart issues, right?
Yes.
And you saw that in the medical history of Tammy Daybell, her father had a history of heart disease, right?
Yes.
So you didn't take that into consideration when you decided to dig Tammy up out of the ground, right?
No, I've never seen this before.
You never looked at it?
No.
You never talked to anybody about what the death certificate said before you decided to have her dug up, right?
Correct.
And you went in front of a judge and you put on testimony to justify digging her up out of the ground, and you didn't even as once look at the certificate of death, did you?
No.
Okay. Judge, counsel previously discussed Officer Greenall's report, and for the life of me, I don't see the exhibit number on that, but it was admitted.
What is it?
I believe it was 418.
41A?
418.
Still sitting right here, Your Honor.
Oh, 418's still up on the...
And Judge, could I have the bailiff take back exhibit number 20?
Yes.
And exchange it with me with the...
418 was still up there, so...
Thank you. Oops, let's do this exercise. Okay. Okay. So can you see that report?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the second
Mr. Pryor, I need to have you talking to the microphone.
The second paragraph talks about how Tammy was found by her husband. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like you to read, starting with the second paragraph to the end where it talks to 911. If you would read that loud so that everybody can hear that, please.
He called for his son to come help put Tamara back onto the bed.
No, I'm talking about where the words start with the deceased. I'm sorry, up here where it says the deceased. That's where I'd like you to start.
You want me to read the whole paragraph?
The whole paragraph, if you would, please.
Okay. This deceased, Tamara M. Daybell, was found by her husband, Chad G. Daybell. Chad told me Tamara had been sick and had a severe coughing fit at approximately 0-100 hours. During this fit, she vomited, then she returned to bed, and she said she was fine. At approximately 5:40 hours, Chad felt the blanket slide off the bed and woke up to see Tamara had partially fallen off the bed. Chad told her to get up, and when she didn't answer, he turned on the lights and found that she was deceased. She had partially fallen off the bed, her head was touching the floor, and her feet were still on the bed. Chad said she was cold and stiff. He called for his son to help come help put Tamara back onto the bed. Chad then called 911.
Okay. So when you talk about a lack of medical conditions, did you read this report before you went to judge and get an order digging Tamara Daybell up out of the ground?
Yes.
Okay. So did you happen to notify the judge that Tamara was having fits the night before, she was vomiting and was sick and was generally not doing well? Did you mention that to the judge?
No.
Okay. All right. So we'll move on to the second paragraph now. And if you would read the second paragraph starting with Chad said Tamara.
Chad said Tamara didn't have any serious medical conditions. She was taking fluoxetine for depression, but did not have any other prescriptions. Chad said the last time she was at the doctor was approximately 2 months ago when she had fallen in the driveway and injured her arm. The doctor had given her steroid shots and she was not having further issues. Chad said she had been feeling sick with something like a cold lately and that she would have gone to the doctor today. Chad said she has low blood pressure and faints occasionally. Chad said that she has been going through menopause and also has been having aches and back pain for approximately 2 weeks and that she was going to visit the chiropractor soon. Chad said she didn't go to the doctor often because she didn't like doctors.
And you were aware of that based on the research of her medical records that Tammy Daybell didn't like to go to the doctor, did she?
Yeah.
Right. And you were aware that Tammy Daybell would use herbal medicine and oils and other medications in lieu of going to the doctor to try to cure herself in other ways, untraditional ways, right?
That's what the report said, yes.
Right. So instead of going to the doctor for fainting spells and for these other things that were going on, she would take supplements and do things like that, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then I'll go back down. And the next one talks about Chad showing all of the over-the-counter medications she takes. He said she's taken approximately 10 bottles on the tablet every morning that she takes to help her, okay? And then read the last line where it says most in that paragraph I just read where the last sentence says most of what was
in the cupboard.
Mr. Pryor, you turned that sideways.
That makes it tough, doesn't it? I was trying to pull one on you, apparently. Go ahead.
Most of what was in the cupboard was essential oils and natural remedies and some pain medications.
Okay. So it looks like the list below talks about the Prozac, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, whatever vitality extracts are. But at the very bottom, it says supplement, right?
Yes.
And what is that supplement for?
The supplement for bruising and sore muscles.
So for treating bruising and sore muscles, did you have any history that Tammy Daybell had a history of easily bruising?
I didn't see any, no.
Did you see anything that suggested that Tammy Daybell had bruises on her body at the time she passed away?
Yes, there was some.
Yeah, and you're aware that those bruises were old bruises, right?
I don't recall.
Okay. And if Brenda Dye put in her report that they were old bruises, you would have no reason to dispute that, right?
Yeah, I have no reason.
Okay. But Tammy Daybell clearly was taking medication for bruising, right?
That's what the report says. Yeah.
That's what the report says, right. And we're going to try to do this, see how skilled I really am.
Okay.
But at the very bottom, it starts with the last sentence. I was later advised by the coroner, if you could read that for me.
I was later advised by the coroner that Tamara's son told her he also takes fluoxetine from the same bottle as his mother. I was also advised that Chad
told
the coroner that sometimes Tamara had minor shaking fits consistent with seizure activity. Tamara's daughter, Emma, also advised the coroner that she takes clogging classes with her mother, and her mother has seemed to slow down in her movements in the last couple months. Tamara had also been saying she felt out of her body recently.
Okay. So again, Mr. Daybell is talking to the coroner or Officer Greenall, and it talks about the fact that Tammy's having seizures and that she's having fits, shaking, and that her daughter is saying that she's slowed down and she's not able to keep up and that she's been feeling out of sorts, right?
Yes.
And based on that, you didn't take that into consideration when you decided to dig up Tammy Daybell, did you?
No.
Okay. The next sentence. I advised
the coroner of everything I had learned from my investigation, and she agreed that the death was a natural one.
I advised the coroner of everything I had learned from my investigation and agreed the death was a natural one. That's Officer Greenow, right?
Yes.
So according to Officer Greenow, in discussing this with the coroner and with all of this information, came to the conclusion that Tammy Daybell's death was a natural one, right?
Yes.
And you didn't report that to the the judge when you decided, and it's not this judge, you didn't report that to the judge when you decided to get a warrant to dig Tammy Daybell up. You didn't mention that to the judge, did you?
No.
Okay. The last sentence in that paragraph, would you read that one for me?
The coroner determined an autopsy was not necessary unless the family wanted one, which they did not.
Okay. And then the very last sentence before Officer Greenow, where it says it was.
It was determined by the coroner that the death was due to probable heart attack due to pulmonary edema.
Okay. And this is a determination that was made by a coroner at the time of the what you called the unattended call of Tammy Daybell, right?
Yes.
And in talking with the folks down in Gilbert, they told you that Chad knew Lori Vallow, right?
Yes.
They had no other information about the death of Tammy Daybell, did they?
No.
You had the information, and you're the one who took that information and went in front of a judge and got an order to dig Tammy Daybell up.
Yes.
And you did it without telling the children that they're digging their mother out of the ground. Is that right?
Yes.
And you didn't take into consideration the seizures, did you?
No.
You didn't take into consideration the shaking, did you?
No.
You didn't take into consideration the anemia, did you?
No.
You didn't take in any of the medical information other than you told the judge there's no medical history here. That's what you told the judge, isn't it?
Off the medical records, yes.
Off the medical records, right?
Yes.
You didn't look at anything else, right?
No.
You didn't look at the certificate of death that says pulmonary edema, heart issues, did you?
I did not see that, no.
You didn't see it or you didn't look?
I didn't look.
Judge, I'm done. This officer's under subpoena to be called back. I intend to call him back.
All right. Well, I'm going to allow some redirect.
Lieutenant Pelt, excuse me. At the time that you sought the exhumation order,
I don't have anything.
Were you aware that Chad and Lori, that Lori's children were missing?
No. I believe yes.
Were you aware that Chad and Lori had a quick marriage after Tammy's death?
Judge objects. It goes beyond cross.
Overruled.
You can answer that.
Will you repeat the question, please?
At the time that you did seek the exhumation order, had you become aware that Chad and Lori had had a quick marriage right after Tammy's death?
Yes.
And in fact, as to the dates, what was the date again that Tammy died?
I was notified October 19th, 2019.
And in fact, what was the date that you surveilled Chad and Tammy holding hands at Hobby Lobby?
November 1st.
At 12 days?
Approximately, yeah.
Mr. Pryor asked you several questions about Allie Greenhall's report.
Yes.
Do you recall who provided the bulk of the information in that report?
Chad Daybell.
And did you ever find out prior to requesting an exhumation whether Chad Daybell wanted an autopsy?
The reporter said he did not.
Did that factor into your decision to seek an exhumation order?
Yes.
How?
Just with all the circumstances and medical records and everything.
Prior to seeking the exhumation order, had you ever heard the name Charles Vallow?
Yes.
And who is that?
Judge, this is going beyond cross.
I do agree with that at this point.
May I argue it, Judge?
Go ahead.
Judge, with the extensive cross-examination about challenging this officer's request for exhumation, I think it's not outside the cross. It's maybe another data point, but it's well within what the cross-examination was.
Well, I don't know if it is or not. The way it's asked, it just seems to be going into a new area. So if it's tied in somehow to the cross, then I may allow it. But for now, it's objection sustained.
Okay. Lieutenant Powell, were there other reasons that I've not asked you yet that went into your decision to seek an exhumation order?
All the deaths surrounding Lori Vallow and Alex Cox.
What were all those deaths?
Which again, we're going into an area that was not opened up.
No, I believe it's
object, Judge.
That's opened up, so I'll overrule the objection.
Could you please explain to the jury all the deaths, what you meant by that?
Lori Vallow's last husband had been shot by Alex Cox.
Did you understand approximately what date that had occurred?
I don't recall the date.
Was that part of the information that was relayed through Gilbert Police Department?
Yes.
So how did the fact that Lori's husband had been killed factor in to your suspicions about Tammy's death?
And well, you had the attempting shooting, the murder.
And I'm just asking you from a common sense perspective as a law enforcement officer, how was that information impacting you to decide to get an exhumation order?
Judge, calls for speculation.
I'm asking. Oh.
Give me a second. Overruled.
You may answer the question.
Will you repeat up?
Yeah. I'm just asking from a common sense perspective for you to please explain to the jury why all of that information bolstered your thinking that you needed to seek an exhumation order.
Because of all the deaths around Lori, Alex, and Chad.
So is it safe to say that when you do any investigation, do you just follow the facts and where they lead you?
Yes.
And so despite what was in Ali Greenhall's report, did all these other facts lead you to seek the exhumation order?
Yes.
And to be clear, you were asked several questions about the death certificate.
Yes.
And who issues a death certificate typically?
The coroner.
I'm just asking if you are aware of whether or not the coroner at the time of Tammy's death had all this other information about Lori and Alex and Charles Vallow.
No, she did not.
Objection, Judge. There's been no basis to establish where that knowledge comes from. Moving to strike.
Yeah, the objection did come in late, but I will sustain the objection for lack of foundation, and I will strike the answer. So I'm instructing the jurors to please disregard that last answer.
In terms of your surveillance of Chad and Tammy, how long that day, let me withdraw that. Please tell the jury again, what day did you initiate your surveillance of Chad and Tammy?
November 1st, 2019.
Thinking back now, how many hours did they spend together that day?
Objection, relevance.
Again, it goes to the relation.
Thanks, Mr. Rexham. Objection's overruled.
I'd say approximately 4 to 6 hours.
And were they riding in a car together?
Yes, when we surveilled them to Idle Falls, they was.
Did you happen to notice if there were any children with them at the time?
No, there was not.
You never saw any children with them at all?
Never seen any children.
No, I have no further questions.
Judge, could I recross in the event that he brought up some things about Mr. Vallow that I would like to be able to touch on a little bit?
Very limited in scope.
Thank you.
Mr. Pryor, I'll allow on that.
Officer, you made an interesting comment about Chad Daybell and Alex Cox. Are you aware that Chad Daybell is not implicated in the murder of Charles Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. Not involved, right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Right. And in the shooting and attempted murder of Brandon Boudreaux, same thing. Alex Cox, Lori Vallow are implicated in that crime, right?
Yes.
And Chad Daybell is not implicated in that crime. Is that right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
So this other knowledge that Mr. Wixom spoke to you about, this knowledge that somehow Chad, he must have known these people. So because he knew those people and he's not implicated in those other murder and attempted murder by Alex Cox, Chad's not implicated. How does that give you a right to dig up Tammy Daybell?
With all the association and all the deaths around it.
Oh, so because she went to Hobby Lobby with him, because she went to a restaurant, and because you surveilled them, and obviously they were having a relationship, right?
Yes.
And that's the other information you used to dig her out of the ground, right?
Yes.
Judge, I have nothing else.
All right. That'll conclude the recross then, and not having any more redirects. So is it correct from the state then that this witness is likely to be recalled?
Judge, given today, we may well reserve the right to recall this witness. And I believe he's under subpoena by the defense as well.
He's all under right. Subpoena by the defense, Judge.
Okay. Lieutenant Powell, then, I'll admonish you that there is an exclusionary order, meaning you're not permitted to observe any trial testimony going forward. While this trial is being live streamed, I'll admonish you, you're not permitted to listen to any other testimony between now and the time you may recall, and I'll ask you about that when you return to the stand. All right. Thank you for your testimony. All right, counsel, we are going to go till 3:30 today. Does the state wish to start in with another witness and take an afternoon break shortly, or would you like to do that now?
Your Honor, I think looking at the time and the fact that we're moving into a new witness, the state would suggest we take the break now instead of just starting testimony and then having to take a break.
Okay. I'll shoot for about 30 minutes and be back on the record after that. Thank you.
All right, please. Hey, folks, so we'll be back.
Mr. Pryor, thank you. Please be seated. All right. Before we get started. I will go back on the record. We're on CR 22-21-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We just completed the afternoon recess. I do want to remind everyone in the courtroom, there's a courtroom conduct order governing these proceedings so that they can go without issue and, most importantly to me, without disturbance of our jurors. And we have had an issue today with some of those attending, and they have not been permitted to return to the courtroom at this time. And so I just want to remind everyone, it's very important that you do follow that. You're certainly welcome to come here and observe, but any type of behavior or conduct that starts causing any sort of interference with our jurors' ability to observe evidence in this case is just not going to be permitted. So thank you for everyone else here for following that order. And with that in mind, we can have the jurors return, please.
Jurors present and accounted for.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, we've concluded the mid-afternoon recess. We're back on the record. Parties are present, ready to proceed. The state is still in its case in chief, and I understand have another witness to call this afternoon. Will that be?
Yes, Your Honor. The state will call Nicole Heidemann.
All right. And please be mindful, counsel, we will conclude with testimony today at 3:30.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And do I refer to you as agent?
I'm a tactical specialist.
Excuse me?
A tactical specialist.
All right. Tactical specialist Heidemann. I just wanted to inquire, now that you're under oath, for purposes of your testimony here, the court's issued an exclusionary order, meaning I'm not permitting any witnesses in the case to previously view testimony of other witnesses. We are live streaming these proceedings, so I'm going to inquire whether or not you have reviewed or watched any of the testimony in this trial thus far.
I have not.
Very well. Thank you for answering that. Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Will you please spell your name for the record?
Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, last name Heidemann, H-E-I-D-E-M-A-N.
Where are you currently employed?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation.
How long have you been employed with them?
Almost 16 years.
What is your current title and or position?
Tactical specialist.
Have you held other positions within the FBI?
I have.
And what are those other positions?
Prior to that, I was an evidence control technician.
At some point, as part of your employment, did you become involved in an investigation regarding some missing children in approximately 2019 or early 2020?
Yes.
Do you recall who those children were?
JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan.
As part of your job duties, were you given specific assignments with regard to that investigation?
I was.
As part of your duties, were you asked to look into evidence and data collected to determine phone attributions?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what phone attribution is?
Yes. Phone attribution or phone number attribution is an attempt to identify the likely primary user of a phone number.
And as you reviewed the data and different reports, did you also discuss the investigation with special agents, detectives, or other law enforcement officers?
Yeah.
And in preparation for your testimony today, have you prepared an exhibit?
Yes.
And is that exhibit regarding phone attribution?
It is.
Is that exhibit a summary of the work that you did and the reports and phone data you reviewed?
Yes.
And would it assist in your testimony today?
It would.
And do you believe it would aid the jury in understanding as well?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 186. I will indicate defense counsel has been provided a copy. I have a copy for the court, the witness, and the witness to review.
Thank you.
I would also indicate this is actually a printout of a PowerPoint. I have the jump drive that's also been marked as State's Exhibit 186 that contains the same information.
All right. So the actual exhibit will not be the printout copies. It will be the PowerPoint exhibit on a thumb drive. Is that correct?
Correct. I printed out the slides as a courtesy and to allow the witness to review them.
Very well.
And do you mind just looking through those if you would? Do those appear to be an accurate representation of the summary we were just discussing? Yes. Your Honor, I would ask for the admission of State's Exhibit 186.
Any objection? Okay. Exhibit 186, which, to be clear again, will be the PowerPoint presentation, is admitted.
Okay. And, Your Honor, I'm going to ask permission to publish State's Exhibit 186.
You may publish.
And we talked about you being asked to look into some phone attribution. Were there specific individuals that you were looking to attribute numbers to?
Yes.
And who were those individuals?
Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, and Alex Cox.
And this is the second slide of the presentation that you prepared. In looking at this, how many numbers did you attribute to Chad Daybell?
Between the time frame of October 2018 and January 2020, there were 9 phone numbers.
And of those 9 phone numbers, did you determine certain ones were of more interest?
Yes.
And how many were those?
3.
And how about in regard to Lori Vallow, how many numbers were attributed to her during that time frame?
6 phone numbers.
And similar question, were there some that were of more interest?
Yes.
And how many were those?
Again, 3.
And with regard to Alex Cox, how many phone numbers were attributed to him?
6.
And of those, were some of more interest?
Yes, 3.
And you talked about a specific time frame. Why did you look at that specific time frame?
We learned through the investigation that Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met on October 26, 2018. We went back through October 2018 through sort of the end of the investigation, sort of the end of the investigation of January 2020.
And when you talk about the end of the investigation, was there still an active investigation into the whereabouts of the children?
The whereabouts, yes.
So you'd focus on this time frame of when there may have been communications between the parties, is that fair?
Correct, yes.
And turning specifically to Chad first, in looking at that first number, is this a number that was attributed to him?
It was.
And can you read the number into the record?
208-690-9374.
And under that, there are 9 things listed. Are these things that assisted in attributing this phone number to the defendant, Chad Daybell?
Yes.
Were there other things that assisted in attributing the number?
There could be, yes.
Were these the main ones that you looked at?
Yes.
And can you go through this list of the 9 things?
Yes. This list of 9 items were documents, primarily documents, but other phones or something that I reviewed that had the 208 number in close relation to another identifier, either Chad's name or an account number, address, something along those lines that were attributed to Chad. So that phone number was subscribed to Tammy Daybell since March 17th, 2018. It was listed as the contact number for Chad Daybell on a Hawaii rental agreement effective December 15th, 2019. It was saved as contact Chad in Tammy Daybell's phone. It was the SMS or text number associated with chad.daybell@gmail.com. It was listed on a Citibank application in Chad's name. It was listed on the LifeMap insurance benefit claim form next to Chad's name. It was saved as contact Bishop Shumway in the Lori for Style iCloud account. It was associated with Chad on some Allegiant flight records. And it was saved as contact Dad in Seth Daybell's phone.
And do you know who Seth Daybell is in relation to Chad?
Seth is Chad's son.
And Tammy Daybell was Chad's wife?
Correct.
Could I ask the witness to please maybe just pull the mic down a little more and talk right into it?
Yes, sir.
It's not that sensitive. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And then looking at this next part of it here, there's a reference to a Cricket account. Can you tell me what the significance of the Cricket account is?
2 additional phone numbers of interest were identified. And when the subscriber information returned, it came back to a Boyd Dial in Mesa, Arizona.
And talking about a Boyd Dial, are you aware if there was any investigation done to determine whether or not there is a Boyd Dial that actually exists?
Yes.
And was there an investigation conducted?
Yes.
Do you know, were you part of that?
Yes.
And were you able to identify any actual Boyd Dials?
We found 2.
Do you know if either agents or detectives did some follow-up with those Boyd dials?
Yeah, I believe some FBI agents in Utah interviewed the two Boyd dials as part of this investigation and cleared them of any knowledge.
And when you're trying to determine if there's any other Boyd dials in existence, what are some of the things that you were looking for to see if they're a real person?
So through database searches primarily, I conducted searches for Boyd dial, P.O. Box 405, Mesa, Arizona, and received negative results. I then did Boyd dial in Arizona and again received negative results. And then I just did a very broad picture of Boyd dial in the U.S. And those were the two that came back, the two in Utah, that came back as being real individuals.
And if you know, was there anything found to link either of the Boyd dials you located to these devices or these phone numbers?
No.
And I said devices. Let me be clear. How many devices did you identify as being associated with the numbers we're going to talk about next?
There was one device for all four numbers. Yes.
And so this first number that we're seeing here, can you read that into the record?
480-395-5126.
And there's two things listed here. Are those two of the factors that you considered in attributing this number to Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And can you read what those are or explain a little bit about them?
This phone number was activated on October 31st, 2018, which was just a few days after Chad and Lori met, and then was either expired or deactivated on January 31st, 2019. And then secondly, it was saved as Melanie 2 in the Lori for Style iCloud account, along with Chad Daybell's known phone number 208-690-9374. So the Melanie 2 contact had two phone numbers associated with it.
And that was in the Lori for Style iCloud account?
Correct.
Do you know who that iCloud account was associated with?
With Lori Vallow.
And the next number on here, can you also read that one into the record?
480-812-5496.
And similarly, there are two things here. Are these things that you use to attribute this number to Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And could you explain a little bit about those?
This phone number was activated the same day that the prior number expired, January 31st, 2019 through July 1st, 2019. And it was saved as contact Janie in the Lori for Style iCloud account.
And this next number, can you read it into the record as well?
515-402-0143.
And on this one, there's six different things listed under it. Are those factors that you use to identify this phone as one associated with Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And can you go through those for us and explain a little bit?
Sure. The 515 number was first identified by the Chandler Police Department in Lori's 480-692-9562 call detail records and saved as contact Bubby in the Lolly Time iCloud account. It was activated on July 1st, 2019, the same day that the 5496 number expired, and was active through October 8th, 2019. This number called the Valley of the Sun Mortuary on July 11th, 2019, and there was a recording of Chad Daybell on that call. There's a text from Lori that read conf number 99NBQ4, which returned an Allegiant Airlines flight in Chad's name. On August 11th, 2019, Lori sent a text to this number, which August 11th is Chad's birthday, saying birthday kisses all over. And it was saved as Rebecca Shumway in the Lori for Style iCloud account.
And we talked about the Lori for Style iCloud being associated with Lori Vallow. Do you know who the Lolly Time iCloud account was associated with?
Also with Lori Vallow.
And then we have one more number listed here. Can you read the number into the record?
401-569-8260.
And under this one, there are also six things listed. Were those six things what assisted in attributing this phone number to Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And could you go through those six things and explain a little bit?
This number was first identified as the first attributable contact of Alex's 334 phone number. It was activated the same day that the 515 number expired, which was October 8th, 2019, and ran through December 30th, 2019. On October 8th, the same day that this phone number was activated, Chad conducted a Google search for Rhode Island area code, the Rhode Island area code being 401. There was a text from 208-690-9374, also known as Chad's known number, to Lori on October 9th, 2019, saying, "I will call right now from a 401 number." The only contact that this attributable contact that this phone number had was with a number attributed to Lori, 480-489-4652, and another number attributed to Alex, 334-744-4205. And finally, it was saved as contact Bishop Miller in Lori for Style, in the Lori for Style iCloud account.
And again, looking at these that are listed under the Cricket account, I think on all of them, you have that as one number is being deactivated, a new number is being activated.
Correct.
And again, these all had the same, appear to be linked to the same device.
Correct. They all shared the same IMEI number.
And then we notice here as well, we've got three numbers in yellow and two in white. Could you talk a little bit about why the different designations there?
Yes, there, as previously mentioned, there are a lot of cell phones in this investigation to sort of minimize the noise and really highlight the phone numbers that are going to be used in this case, in this trial. The numbers in yellow are, you're going to hear about quite frequently. The two numbers in white, they were predating sort of the crime portion. They are helpful to attribute the phone numbers to Chad, but we didn't focus on them. We didn't see any content, text content in the iCloud accounts. So we can see that they were speaking to people in the cases, but the focus of the investigation was on those three yellow numbers.
And is that why the three yellow numbers all have more items listed as to how they were attributed to Chad?
Correct. Yes.
And then on this next slide, we see two additional numbers that appear to be attributed to Chad. Could you read the first number into the record?
602-290-7288.
And similarly on this, we see two things listed. Are those how this number was attributed to Chad?
Yes.
And can you explain a little bit about those two items?
So in addition to there being a lot of phone numbers, there's also a lot of, there were also a lot of aliases for individuals through this investigation. So to help understand that, not just attributing these phone the phone number to Chad or Lori, also to attribute the concepts of these different names or aliases to Chad or Lori. So the 602 number received a text on, or I'm sorry, sent a text on December 4th, 2019 to a group chat of the Daybell children that read, "Hi, this is Dad." And this phone number was also saved as contact Raphael in Zulema's phone, which was one of Chad's aliases.
And when you talk about Zulema, do you know Zulema's last name?
Pastenez.
And so when you talk about one of Chad's known names, is that the Raphael?
Correct.
Thank you. And then there is a second number here. If you could read that into the record.
Or 803-419-5585.
And under this one, there are three things listed. Are those what assisted in attributing this number to Chad?
Yes.
And could you explain a little bit about those three things?
Yes. Another name for another alias of Chad was James and Elena as Lori. So the James and Elena iCloud account was associated with this 480. Or the number that ends in 9585 was associated with the James Loves Elena iCloud account. There is a text from this number, again, to the Daybell children, a group chat that's on 12/14/2019 that begins, "Hi, this is Chad." And according to Ian Pulowski, it was a number being used by Chad and Lori.
And when you say names associated with them, did you learn through your investigation that a name used by Chad was James or used to refer to him?
Yes.
And Elena was a name used to refer to Lori?
Correct.
Thank you. And these numbers are also in white. Can you explain if these numbers were a focus?
They were not a focus. They were after the crimes had occurred.
And as you indicated, they were also a way in determining different aliases or names used by Chad and Lori?
Correct, yes.
Thank you. The next one that we go to has Lori Noreen Vallow cell phone attribution at the top. And so as we go through this one, the first number listed here, can you read that into the record?
480-489-4652.
And under this one, there are seven things listed. Are these seven things part of what assisted in associating or linking this number to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And can you go through those seven things?
This number was first identified by the Chandler Police Department during a review of the Lori for Style iCloud account. There is no subscriber name from the provider. However, account IDs were LoliTime at iCloud and Lori for Style at Hotmail. And the credit card information attached to this phone number was in Lori's valid name. And this account was effective from January 31st, 2019 through December 28th, 2019. This number appeared next to Lori's name on Allegiant Flight Records. It was saved as contact Lori and Lily in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phones. It was saved as contact Lori Vallow in Zulema's phone, along with 480-692-9562. It appeared in Delta Flight Records, along with kkwalker75 at yahoo.com. And it was also a contact number on a Hawaii wedding quote request submitted by Lori.
And the next number here, if you could read that into the record.
480-692-9562.
And similarly, there are seven things listed under this number. Could you explain a little bit about those in relation to this phone number?
Sure. Again, these appeared in various places within the investigation. We first learned of it during Chandler PD's review of Charles Vallow's cell phone, revealed this as another number for Lori. This number was actually subscribed to Lori Vallow, which was effective from February 4th, 2019 through January 5th, 2020. It was associated with the LoliTime at iCloud, Lori for Style at iCloud, and LoliTimeForever at gmail.com accounts. It was an Amazon shipping contact for Charles Vallow at 565 Pioneer Road, apartment 175 in Rexburg, Idaho. It was a number provided on an application for P.O. Box 415 in Sugar City, Idaho. It was saved as contact Lily and Lolo in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phone. And it was another number on the contact as a contact on the Hawaii wedding quote request submitted by Lori.
And looking at this, through your portion of the investigation, did you ever learn whether or not Charles Vallow ever lived at that 565 Pioneer Road in Rexburg, Idaho?
He did not.
Did you learn whether or not Charles Vallow ever had a P.O. box in Sugar City, Idaho?
He did not.
And looking at the next number here, can you read the number into the record?
808-755-5452.
And similarly, on this one, there are seven items listed. Were these seven items what assisted in attributing this phone number to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And could you go through those seven items?
This number was provided by Lori to the Chandler Police Department. It was subscribed to Premier Financial Services between January 8th, 2016 through November 24th, 2019. It was associated with Lori for Style at iCloud. There was an instant message to Peter Dixon on August 8th, 2019 that read, "Hi, Peter, this is Lori Vallow." It is saved as contact Lolo Vallow in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phone. It is saved as contact Lily in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phone, and it was another contact number on the Hawaii wedding quote request submitted by Lori.
And do you know who was part of Premier Financial Services?
Charles Vallow and Lori Vallow.
And with all three of these numbers, we see all three of these in yellow. Were these all numbers that were determined to be of interest in the investigation?
Yes.
And as we've gone through these, for some of these numbers, could there have been other things that assisted in the attribution in attributing these to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
But these were the main ones that you focused in on?
That I focused on, yes.
And turning next to the numbers associated with Alex Cox, could you read that first number into the record?
480-351-9120.
And under that, there are six items listed. Could you go through, and let me back up. Did these six items assist in attributing this phone number to Alex Cox?
Yes.
Could you go through those six and explain a little bit?
This was the contact number provided by Alex Cox to the Chandler Police Department. It was subscribed in Alex Cox's name with an effective date of February 27th, 2015 through we don't know when it ended based on the search warrant. It is associated with email accounts homerjmaximus at gmail.com and homerjmaximus at yahoo.com. It saved as contact Lori Alex Cox and LoliTime at iCloud.com. It saved as contact Alex Cox and Lori Firstile at iCloud.com. It was listed as a contact number for Alex Cox on Allegiant Flight Records, also, which also included Homer J. Maximus at Yahoo.com.
And if you could read this next number into the record.
304-960-5998.
And this one has two items listed. Were those items what assisted in attributing this number to Alex Cox?
Yes.
And could you explain a little bit about those two items?
This phone number was identified through its IMEI through the HomerJMaximus at gmail.com records. There's no subscriber name, but the account ID was RayMaximus at gmail.com with an effective date of September 27th, 2019. Through December 28th, 2019.
And this next number?
334-744-4205.
And there are three items listed here. Were those items what assisted in attributing this number to Alex Cox?
Yes.
And could you go through those three items listed there?
This phone number was associated with a Samsung Galaxy phone recovered from Alex's Rexburg apartment. Again, there's no subscriber name, but the account ID was RayLamar at gmail.com. With an effective date of effective dates of October 9th, 2019 through January 9th, 2020. And it was saved as contact Spencer's wife and Lori Firstile at iCloud.com.
And similarly with these three numbers, could there have been other things that assisted in attributing these numbers to Alex Cox?
Yes.
Are these the ones that you focused in on?
Yes.
And when we talked about Chad Daybell, we talked about more numbers. But on the first slide, we talked about there were those three main numbers of interest identified.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And on one of those, you'd indicated that it was only in contact with a number associated with Alex Cox and one associated with Lori Vallow. Is that correct?
Yes.
And was the number for Lori Vallow one of the ones that you'd identified as a main number with her?
Yes.
And was the one identified as Alex one of the numbers that you've identified as a main number associated with him as well?
Yes.
And Your Honor, may we approach?
Yes. All right, counsel, we took a sidebar to discuss scheduling. Do you want to indicate how the state wants to proceed going forward for today and tomorrow?
Your Honor, the state recognizes that the court did wish to end at 3:30 today. And I think given where we're at with testimony, the state has finished with this exhibit, but does have more to present through this witness. So I think it would make a logical stopping point. I did just want to confirm that exhibit 186 was admitted. And then I do have that disc.
It was admitted. Okay. And we do have that. All right. And then for purposes of tomorrow's schedule, then we will run court again from 8:30 to 3:30. We may have a slightly longer lunch for the jurors tomorrow because I think we're going to take up a motion outside of the jurors' presence at 1 o'clock is the plan for now. We can confirm that tomorrow, but our regular court schedule will be in effect. So we'll be in recess for today and resume again at 8:30 with the testimony of this witness. So, of course, I'll remind the witness the exclusionary order is still in place, so don't review any testimony between now and when you return to the stand. Also, thanks everyone in attendance for adhering to the court's conduct order. And then finally, to those jurors, before we recess for the day, again, as we recess, please make sure to follow the court's admonishment to not do anything to look up or investigate this case or in any way, or to discuss it with anyone, including amongst yourselves, so that you can remain impartial until such time as you begin your deliberations. So with that, is the state okay to recess for the day?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Anything further from the defense? All right. If all would please rise for the jurors, we'll be in recess.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.